thrilled to be here, and I'm sure glad the Lord talked to me about preaching about fire, since such a special morning, and we're in the presence of the Lord. Do you feel the presence of God that's here? And I trust that God will minister to us, and we are so thankful to be a part of this church. We love Calvary, and we love you. Exodus chapter 3, let's turn to a scripture about the fire of the Lord, and let's read a couple verses. I know it is very familiar, but I would like to read a couple of the first verses here in the book of Exodus. Everyone said, praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 1. How many will help me preach here this morning? All right, I wish everybody would help me preach, then I could do it real quick here. I feel good, but I feel like this is all right. I think we're right in the will of God. And, of course, I'm just always thrilled to hear Brother Mooney preach, and it's just exciting to be a part of what God is doing here and all that God is doing in the Bible school and this church and this great organization. We thank God for it. And I want to talk to you for just a little bit, just a couple points about the way that God is talking to the church. Can you say amen? The way that God is talking to the church. And of course, He can't talk to the church unless He talks through or to you, to me. And so He's talking to us. Can you say amen? That's what He's doing. And so, let's look at Him talking here to Moses. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame. Everyone say a flame. A flame of fire. Thank God that we're preaching about this morning. The angel appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, what first drew me to these verses was not that aspect of it, but this next bit. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw, I'm going to say, when? Now, I know this is interesting, but when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. I want to talk to you about the Lord talking to the church. Let's praise him one more time. Father, right now I ask that just a few moments we have together, Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you because there is a destiny that is assigned to us. Thank you because there is something happening in this world, and we are indeed a part of it. Speak to us and minister to us in a special way. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. God is talking to His church. There is nothing like the church. There is nothing like the people that God is ministering to in this world. In and out of the midst of the fire, God communicates to the hearts of those that will turn aside. We notice in verse 3, he said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And so, that to me is the explanation. There's nothing wrong with being intellectual. There's nothing wrong with trying to find answers. Nothing wrong with searching through life and doing all the things that life is about. But when it is all said and done, there is one thing that is above all other things, and that is, are we where God wants us to be? Are we turning in the direction that God wants us to turn? Are we listening to what God is saying? There's nothing like the church. And it's easy to be intimidated, or it's easy for this world and all that it is doing, and all the Husseins and all of the evil and all the trouble that the world is about, for us to forget that there is something unique. Aren't you thankful for it here this morning? Something powerful, something wonderful about the people that God has said, I am waiting for a people that will look in my direction, that will see what I am doing, because there is nothing like the church. It's not because they're so brilliant. It's not because they've done so much in the natural, because it's really not about the natural. He bypasses the courts of Pharaoh and all of the religious elitists. He bypasses that, and he begins to move in amazing places among people that is absolutely amazing. For example, there are those that were under the thumb of communism, and so we can't even find the grave of some of the great apostolic preachers. But God was in their midst, and great revival came because someone said, I'm going to step up and see what God is doing.
God is talking to His church. This is an awesome time. This is a great time to be a part of what God is doing. There's all this happening in the world. Who knows about the bombs and the chemicals and the possibility of war. But God, in the midst of all that happens in this world, do you feel this morning as though God knows what He's doing? He's got it all under control. There's no room, of course, for pride. We're not talking about pride here this morning. We're talking about being thankful that God has decided, the maker of heaven and earth, to come down to this point, to this place, and to appear in the midst of a burning bush. I mean, it is not what you would, if you were going to reason it out, well, okay, God's going to come. He's going to come with a fire, and He's going to be in a bush on the backside of nowhere. That is not the way that we would reason it out. Because this is not a church that's based just on human reasoning and human capability and human potential. That's not what we are about. We are about a people that are saying, Lord, speak to me. I want you to minister to my heart. It is more than just religion. It is a desire for God to speak directly to us. How many are hungry for God to do something in your life here this morning? It's more than just things that we know. And I'm not against that. I think it's fine. In fact, let me do this. And I want to hurry along. And just a couple of things I want to relate from these familiar passages. But this expression in verse 4, so the Lord saw that He had turned aside to see. Now, I know that the Hebrew there doesn't say when the Lord. There's several ways in language. For example, if you were to take certain passages in original language, you might could select from a number of possibly because the Lord, when the Lord, since the Lord, if the Lord, because the language may allow for a certain number of options in how to translate. Not that there's not the word when in Hebrew, but the word when is not there. This is a construction where you have to say, well, what is God doing here when the Lord saw that He turned aside to see? We don't think, of course, that the Lord learned anything. How many knows the Lord knows everything? So the language here is not to imply that God somehow doesn't know something and suddenly when He saw something, He learned something about Moses. That's not the point. The point is that God called out to Moses. He absolutely took a moment and God had a place and a time and it was God's purpose. It is not the way man would do it. Not the way man would do it. It's not that I want anything to be disorganized and I want to be out on the desert. I'm not preaching today, let's all get out in the desert or on a hillside or in this was not a desert, by the way. This was basically wilderness, mountainous area. And he sees this bush begin to be burning with fire. What is amazing to me is that God can choose to do what He will. And that it is our job to turn and to see and to love and to adore what He is doing. To embrace it. Is that how you feel this morning? I just want to embrace what God wants in my life. It doesn't have to be. Thank God, of course, for the beauty of the church and for what God is doing. We're excited about the building and all that's going to happen. That's all wonderful. But how many of us know that it's not about the nails and the carpet and all the other. All that is very important. But what makes us thrilled about that new school and all that's going to happen there and the new sanctuary is not because of the buildings themselves, but because we have come to know the God that resides in His house. And He can choose to meet where He will. It may be in a communist land. It may be in Muslim lands. And it is, in fact, there's great revival. God is pouring His Spirit out. How many are thankful that God is actively working in people's hearts? No matter where they are, He is working amongst them. So for him to say here, God called unto him, Vayakra, the Lord, this is not the word you would say the Lord spoke to him. That there is a very common word for that, but this is the word when you would say you might say it, I don't want to be silly here, but you might say he raised his voice. You might say he hollered out, or we'd say that in Arkansas. what would we say in Indiana? He spoke loudly. Or we might say this is probably as good as we can get. He cried aloud to Moses. I want to tell you something. I believe this, and I'm not just trying to draw a lot of symbolism here, but I do believe that God is crying out to this world. He is crying in every nation. He is reaching out His hand, and He has said, "This is what I got. If you want it, you can have it. It doesn't matter what nation it is, how poor you are, what you've got." Oh, church, listen, we need to want it. We've got to want it. I sense that we do. I really do. Everybody say, praise the Lord. I sense that we desire it. Lord, Lord, speak to me. Speak to my heart. The world is poised for war with a dictator who seeks nuclear capability. And, of course, no one suspects that this one nation will overtake the world. That's not the fear I think people have. It's fearing that another man-made suicide mission akin to the towers bombing might happen again, or somebody will do something that will be wreak havoc in the world. But I want to say again here this morning, the most powerful force in this world is not nuclear. And it is not what man can get to himself. Whatever reason, I've asked myself many times, thinking about those Christians in Iraq and those Christians in Baghdad and those that have gotten the Holy Ghost in Iraq. They are getting the Holy Ghost in Iraq. How many are praying that God will pour His Spirit out? They're getting the Holy Ghost in Uzbekistan. They're getting the Holy Ghost in Turkey. Because you see, God is crying out to the heart. And man says, wait, I see something. And so it is not just, although there are many symbols, the Spirit is sometimes akin to the water. John 7, this is a river of water. Those are all symbols. Obviously, God is neither water nor fire in reality. But these are symbols that He chose to, in the physical form at the bush, to appear in the midst of the bush, a flame. And so we have no reason, we have no excuse to say, well, I refuse to be ablaze with the truth. We don't have that option. God hasn't said, well, you know, I like religion, but I don't want religion where I have to talk in tongues. Or where I have to, whatever. It's not a homemade religion. It's not a homemade experience. In fact, I'm not interested today in studying my way into eternity and hoping maybe we can match wits with this world. It's not about matching wits. It's not about, thank God, I've been some very interesting moments in the last several months where people that I would not have thought were interested. Of course, we were speaking this week in our new History of Pentecostalism class we have at the school about the fact that many doors have been opened in the last year, not because they are interested in the name of Jesus and water baptism necessarily, not because they wonder about the oneness of God, but because they are looking around and they said, my, my, my. Look how quickly the apostolic church is expanding. When they called us Oral Roberts, they didn't ask me to come and expound about our beliefs on the name of Jesus. Although that I did a little bit, but that's not what they asked us to come and do. They said, we want you to come because we're interested in the fact that this certain United Pentecostal Church is growing at three times the rate of this organization that we're... And that's what they were looking at. You see, folks, I believe that God is moving in this world in all the way only God can move. He is touching lives. He is working in places. And He is saying to this world, listen, whatever happens in this world, keep your eyes on me. Turn aside to me. There's no foe. There's no Pharaoh. That's as important as your call to God. He calls us in this age of uncertainty. Moses had to first be called to the place of the holy, from the lonely hillside to the feet of the Red Sea. We had to first say, yes, Lord, yes. I want to stand where you are. I want to stand for what you stand for. I'll tell you, the hardest thing I ever did was just say, I'm going to change churches. That wasn't all that tough. It was. It was very tough. In fact, may have been nothing in my spiritual life any more difficult than saying, you know, I've just got to take a stand here. I've got to get... May seem like a small matter, but just to get rebaptized, it seemed like a simple matter, but it took a lot of doing. You said, we should have just jumped in. You know, well, God is speaking And the church is responding. Lord, whatever you want to do in our lives. This is not about a hillside many, many centuries ago. I'm not talking about a wilderness area many, many centuries ago. And another part, I'm talking about God speaking to us today. He is speaking in all of His glory. He wants us to step up to the fire. And He didn't do it at the very door of Pharaoh's court. He could have easily had a spectacle at the door of Pharaoh. But God said, I'm going to speak to Moses in my way because I need Moses to be my man. I need him to stand on the holy ground. And so there's something about it. There's something about the power that comes. I was thinking of the upcoming Easter. And this morning we had the tones of the Easter story. But I was thinking of Handel and the famed composer. We often think that people get where they are because of their fame or because of doors being opened or ivory towers and advantages. But no. George Handel wrote his awe-inspiring and most triumphant and best work, the Messiah, or the Hallelujah Chorus. You know what I'm talking about when I say that? The Hallelujah Chorus. I won't even attempt to help you know what it is. I hope you know what it is. Although something in me wants to start going, Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Yes, because it is such an awe-inspiring. I mean, just the thought. It doesn't matter that he wrote it here in 1741 in Germany. It matters not that it was across the ocean and many centuries ago. The fact is the jubilant, triumphant message of the Hallelujah Chorus rings true today. But little do people know that he was paralyzed in his right side and was facing imprisonment because of his debts. He did not write it because everything was glorious. Telling you the church is most glorious when it stands before God wherever He speaks to us. We got to have time. Is this okay? I know it's wintry and I thought if I kind of heated it up a little bit, and I'm not going to preach all day. Just a few more seconds. I'm convinced from myself that it's just whatever God wants. It's just whatever God wants. Because without His holy ground, without the burning of His power, then all that I know will be meaningless and all that I have will be empty. So a few months ago, that's almost, I guess it'll be a year next month, so it's getting very close. Just and I'm not on the foreign field a great deal, but to step into African soil and watch millions of people that have been baptized in His name. Are you thankful today for what God is doing? See, there's not a nation we can mention that there's not this burning of the glory, and I'm using it as the symbol, but I'm convinced that we need the fire. We need the glory of God. We need what God wants. We don't need to come in and think that, well, it's something of our own making, but no, Lord. Speak to me, Lord. I see the glory. I see something I cannot comprehend, and I do not want to make it into my own image. I want God to be God. I want God to speak to me. I want God to speak to me every day. Is this okay? Give me another second. I want God to minister to me. I want Him to speak. Yes, He is speaking. Young men have to go into... Now, I find it interesting that we're growing as an organization. 3 years ago, I gave a... I don't know what it was. I spoke at a university. It was a denomination. And I said, we're about to peak 3 million in the UPC. And it just was a... And by the way, as organizations go, that's good. What's good about it is the rate of growth, the way people are being drawn into the presence of the Holy Ghost. And so the church is growing rapidly. But then 2 years later, in fact, today we could say it. We said it in class on Friday. Here we are just 2 years later. And we're saying we're about to peak 4 million See, what we're doing is we're accelerating this growth. Can anybody feel what I'm saying today? I am saying that it's because we have been to that holy place. It is not about numbers or palaces or pharaohs or the fear that men have. It is about a God that can choose as He will. God has a church that is a church of destiny. And if we will stand before Him, He will say, Moses, Moses, Moses. He'll holler it out. Oh, thank God. Let's stand together, shall we? I'm only a little way into it, but I want to stop. I want us to think here. Folks, Jeremiah knew only the God that was true. He did not speak in Jeremiah 5 of the gods of religion. Even God's chosen people had turned religion inside out. But I'm going to paraphrase the Hebrew. It's terrible. No, it's not a paraphrase. It's not a paraphrase. I was going to say, I'm telling you, I'm paraphrasing the Hebrew. I'm not. I'm making it up. He doesn't say these words, but it's kind of like, well, here goes. It doesn't matter what it is. Jeremiah was saying, in essence, we don't need Showtime religion. We need holy ground. We need to stand in His presence. You see, nothing else matters if you have to break through the crowd if you're the leper. Doesn't matter what all the rest of the world is doing if you're the one with palsy and there's a roof between you and Jesus. You've got to push through the crowd and touch the hem of His garment like the woman with the issue. And so it is always. Moses, great Moses. I'm in no way trying to suggest that Moses is not as great as all history and scripture says he is. But I'm telling you, he was just hungry for the presence of God. He ran to the very place that was holy. And when he did, it would say when. When he did, the Lord said, come on, reach down there. Slip off those shoes. That's when God called out by a cry. He shouted it to him. And somehow I want the Lord to be able to get through to me. I want Him to talk to my life and my heart. You feel that way? Can we lift our hands just for a moment? Father, we really aren't interested in just religious things. Although we do care about religious people. But we are really more concerned about getting to that place. Getting through to that place where You want us to be. Lord, in the presence of God here today. And Lord, so many that couldn't even get here. And it's a kind of a strange morning. But yet you have talked to us. And You are talking to Your church. Now, Lord, there's something You're trying to tell us about. Could we just lift another hand up one more second? Father, just talk to us. Let this church be a church that's listening. I want to listen, Lord. I want to listen to You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. What would we do today? What would you do? What would I do today if God were to lead us by a burning bush? What would we do today if we really walked right directly into His presence? How would we respond? I hope we would say, speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. We're going to sing a chorus, where He leads me, I will follow. I'd like for us all to respond in a way that's appropriate today, whether you want to kneel there in your pew or stand or come down front, but we need to respond. God is calling. He's calling each and every one of us, and we've got to hear His voice and turn aside and say, lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Where He leads me, I'll go with Him, with Him. name. Lead us into your presence, God. Speak to our hearts, oh God. Praise your name, Jesus. Where